Okay, good morning, everyone. Even though last week we left off on a little bit of a cliffhanger and in the middle of a sugya, I thought that because today is Lag BaOmer, we would do something shayach to Lag BaOmer. And Be'ezras Hashem, next week we'll go back to the discussion of Svara, which we started last week, and could be that next week is even our last shiur. I'm not sure. We'll have to check. So, what I thought we would try to do today is introduce the Torah of Lag BaOmer of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. What was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai teaching the world? What was he megala? And I think, perhaps in particular today, after the horrific events that we heard about last night, this is something that we should all try to better understand, and hopefully something that will inspire us to be better people. So if you look at the Makoros from the sheets on Canvas, let's start with a piece from the Zohar. And the context over here is a passage in the Zohar, and it's trying to tell us how we are supposed to look at Torah, and specifically, I think, the stories of the Torah. So let's read it together. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Vay lahu barnash, d'amar d'ha'oraisa, asa l'achza'a sipurin ba'alma, umilin d'hadiotos. Woe is to the person who says that the Torah is just there to tell you simple stories and folklore. De'ihachi, Afilu bizmana da anan yecholin lemevad oraisa bemilin dehadiot uveshvacha yasir mikula. Because if that were the case, so we could make a Torah today that's even better. Other words, you could look. There are people ad hayom hazeh that look at Torah. They look at the stories of the Torah as folklore. Sort of reminds me a little bit about English class and how you go back to these old stories, Beowulf and the like, the Greek. And I always wondered, and perhaps this was my lack of sophistication or appreciation, why are we reading this stuff? And I said, well, these are important tales. Like, well, if that's what we're looking for, there's better folklore. Anyway, my teachers didn't always agree, but that's what the Zohar is saying. We could do better stuff than that. Ilach zamilad alma afilu inin kaf sire de alma is bein nihu milin ilan yatir ihachi. Right. So if they're meant to tell us the way of the world, so again, they're better places. The nobility have better works than us. So what is the purpose of the Torah? And I think particularly the stories, right? Iachi, if that was it, so nezel basrayu, we should go after that. V'nadin na oraisa ki agafna. Ella, kol milin de oraisa milin ilayin inun de razin ilayin. So rather, all the words of the Torah are elevated words, are secrets, lofty secrets. Oraisa, kevan de nachsas lahai alma, Ilav de mislabsha behani levushin dehai alma lo yachil alma lemizbal. So the Torah, when it entered the world, if it didn't put itself, it didn't dress itself in the clothing of the world, meaning to say, to tell the stories in human language, to present the lofty ideas in ways that are relevant to this world, so the world would not be able to bear it. Valda hai sipor de oraisa, levusha de oraisa ihu. So you should understand then that the stories of the Torah are the clothing of the Torah. When you read the stories of the Torah, what are you looking at? The clothing. Man dechashiv dehahu levusha ihu oraisa, mamish, belo mila acheres. So you look at the story. Someone who thinks that the levush, the clothing, are the actual Torah and not something else, tipach ruche velo yehle chelke ba'alma d'ase. He should be cursed. He should have no chelek in Olam Haba. Begain kach Amar David, gal einai v'abita niflos mitorah secha. That's why David HaMelech davened, that open up my eyes, let me see the wonders of your Torah. What does that mean? My detachos levusha de'oraisa, what's below the clothing. So obviously anyone could read the stories of the Torah. David HaMelech davened, let me understand what's beneath the stories. I can read the stories, but the stories are the clothing. I want to know what's beneath the stories. Tachazi, is levusha deschazi lekula. So let's examine it. The Zohar, instead of saying tashma, says tachazi. Let's go in here. We could talk about another time why we choose that particular thing. What's the difference between hearing and seeing? Why is the Zohar use seeing, not hearing? But not for now. Maybe later in this year. So tachazi. Is levusha deschazi lekula, this clothing that everyone could see. The inan tipshin kad cham an levar nash be levusha deschazi lon shapira lo mistaklin yasir. So fools, when they see a well-dressed person, right, they don't look further. In other words, they judge the person by the clothing that he's wearing. Chashivu dahu levusha gufa. Chashivusa degufa nishmasa. So these fools, they think that the clothing is the body of the person. And the body of the person is actually the soul. Ki hai gavna oraisa isla gufa. So too. That was a mashal. Now let's try to understand a nimshal. So the Torah has a guf. V'inun pekude oraisa de akron gufe Torah. So the mitzvos are considered the gufe Torah. They're equivalent to the guf of the Torah. Hai gufa mislabsha belevushin de inon sipurin de hayalma. The guf is dressed in clothing, and those are the sipurim, the stories of this world. Tipshin de alma lo mistakli alabahu levusha de ihu sipur de oraisa. So the fools just look at the clothing. In other words, the stories. Lo yadi yatir. Lo mistakli bema de is tachos. Hahu levusha. They don't look what's below that clothing. Inun diyad in yatir. Those who know a little bit more. Lo mistaklin belevusha. They don't look at the levush. Ela begufa diu tachos hahu levusha. They look at the guf that's below the clothing, namely the gufei Torah. Chachimin avdei demalka ila inun dekaimu betura de Sinai. Lo mistakli ela benishmasa de ihi ikara de kulu araisa mamish. So those that are wise, those that stood at Har Sinai, so they look at the neshama of the Torah, because that's the true Torah. Ula zimna de asi, and la asid lavo, zimnin listakla benishmasa de nishmasa de araisa. Then he'll be able to see the inner soul, the deeper soul. So what does it mean? Just like you can judge a person very superficially, you could judge him by the clothing he's wearing, but that's not him. So what's below the clothing? His body. But that's still not him. It's more him than his clothing. It's easier to change your clothing than your body, but it doesn't represent who you are. So superficial people look only at that. The most superficial people only look at the clothing. A little deeper, you look at the body. But if you want to understand a person, you have to go beyond the body, the neshama. And that's how we should try to study the Torah, understand the neshama of the Torah. And that's in Lavo. In other words, right now, we're not able to understand that. But Lasad Lavo, there's going to be something even deeper the depths, the inner being, the subconscious, something deeper that we will perceive. So let's try to understand this a little better. So the Zohar here starts off, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, telling us that we shouldn't look at the Torah as simply a folklore. This is a little bit reminiscent of the Ramban's comments, the second source that you have here, at the beginning of Bereshis. Rashi very famously asks why the Torah starts with Bereshis. Why doesn't it start with HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodeshim? So the Ramban asks, I don't understand. Certainly there's a value to studying Bereshis. You have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That's a very important piece of information. So the Ramban explains that what Rashi means is as follows. If all we need to know is that God created the world, which certainly we do, so it's enough what it says in Aseret HaDibros, Ki Sheish Yesimim Asa Hashem Asa Shemayim Vas Aretz Oyom Hashish Vasvay Nafash. What do we have to know what happened on the first day, on the second day, and the third day? Elamai will tell me, shouldn't we know what happened on the first day, second day, third day? That's not something that's of any value, seemingly, the way it's presented in the Torah. Let's take a look over here, the second source. I'll just read it from the bold. V'atshuva mipnei shemaisa bereshis sod amok, eno muvan min amikraos, v'lo yivada al boryo, ela mipia kabbalah, ad Moshe Rabbeinu mipia glura. So what happens? You know what happened on day two, day three, but that's, what does that tell you? It seems to be of very little value. So if you want to actually understand, then you need the Kabbalah going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you're not going to get that Havana from the words of the Torah. L'kach amar Rabbi Yitzchak she'en l'haschalas ha-Torah tzorech b'bereshis bara. V'asibor b'mashenev riyom yishon mashenas b'yom she'en v'shayamim. So here the Ramban is telling us two things. Number one is that you want to really understand these stories, you won't understand them just by reading the Psukim. Now that's not to say that Pshat isn't important. The Ramban clearly thought Pshat is very important. Pshat meaning to say what we can't understand just from the Pesukim. The Ramban spends a great deal of time explaining what the Pshat is. So it is not the Pshat that the Ramban thinks that Pshat isn't important. If he did, he wouldn't spend so much time on it. But rather, if you want to fully understand these stories, so you're not going to get that from the Pesukim. So how are you going to get that? You need this Kabbalah, which goes all the way back to Moshe Mi-Sinai. And that profound wisdom is the deeper, truer meaning. And that's why the Ramban prefaces when referring to the Kabbalistic interpretation with something like Al Derech Ha-Emes. And the stories then are these physical manifestations of these eternal topics. In a sense, that's what it means when we compare it to the cloak. If you take a look at the Maharal, source number 3 over here, he writes that this is true, not just with respect to stories, but also with respect to mitzvos as well. Take a look. The Af Al-Gav, Dehu lo amar shatora hi levosh lemilin ilayin rak b'shvil hasipurin shem b'torah shelo yivaze osam ha'adam mikol makom b'chlal hazeh gam kol mitzvot gam ken mitzvot ha'torah she'yefshar she'yeh ba'olam ha'chomri hazeh rak b'guf v'hem ha'mitzvot ha'gashmios u'kamo shebar adam she'yeh bo ha'tzelem ha'loki ha'nivdal. So So let's try to understand what he's saying, and we're going to elaborate on this. So let's say you want to know about a person. So if they're wearing clothing, you realize that there's more to the clothing, but you will get some idea of their body from the clothing. And the point is that when we go ahead and study A, the Torah stories, B, the mitzvos, and C, and this is an idea we're going to explain in a couple of minutes, even the physical aspects of this world, so through that, we're going to have a deeper understanding of this pnimios hadavar, this inner wisdom, this deeper and truer wisdom. Now, we have to elaborate on this because so far we haven't really explained what we mean. So again, the first thing that the Zohar is saying here is don't be satisfied with the superficial reading. And the superficial reading isn't the only intended reading. There, meaning, a lot of times people study Torah and they see this superficial understanding and they think that's it. Again, this is not coming lafuke pshat. It's only coming lafuke the idea that all there is pshat. So let's take a look at a particular example. This is from another piece in the Zohar, after the Maral, from Parshas Bahaloscha. So the Zohar over here says an incredible thing. And again, it's a mafteach to how to understand the stories and even the details of the story. The Zohar here is bothered. We'll read it inside a moment, but just to present it in advance, why do I care about where the Teva landed? In other words, what difference does it make? The Pasuk tells us that the Teva landed on Ararat. So what do I need to know that? If the Torah, I guess, was some type of history book, so then okay, maybe I could see why there would be value here. But it's not a history book. As the Zohar said before, it's a history book. There are a lot better books. That was the goal. So why is this detail important? It's not just telling me some information. And the answer is that there must be something here that we have to learn. The Zohar tells us, we're not actually going to read because I want to go a little further what it's teaching us. But what's more important for us is the perspective when you see something like that. So let's look at it together. Da oraisa di klala ilah. So the stories, the details that the Torah teaches us, is not just to tell us the stories, but it's to teach us something broader and deeper. It's not just to tell us about itself, bilvad, ella lachzala hu klala ilah deoraisa kula nafak. It's teaching us about the whole Torah. Kigon, for example, haydech said v'tanach ateva b'chodesh hashvi b'shivasar yom l'chodesh al harei Ararat. Vadai haikra mechlala deoraisa nafak. Right, so that Torah, that story, that detail is coming from the Torah. V'asi v'sibu de'alma. My ichbaslan yishari b'hai, oh b'hai, what difference does it make if it landed on this mountain or that mountain? Deha be'asar chad l'shiri, it's got to land somewhere. So what difference does it make? Ela l'lamed ala klal kulo yatza. V'zakayin inon Yisrael de isyahiv lehu oraisa ila oraisa dekashat. So klal Yisrael zocha, they were given the elevated Torah, the true Torah. Uman de amar hu sipura de oraisa lachza al hahu sipur bilvad kaasi tipech ruchai. Someone who says that this story is just telling us about, this detail is just telling us about this story, So they should be cursed. Dihachi, lav ihi oraisa ila. Then it would turn out that the Torah isn't something elevated. It's just a history book. It's just a story. It's just folklore. It wouldn't be oraisa ila. Now, this is very fascinating. It wouldn't be oraisa kashat. It wouldn't be a true Torah. Elevadai oraisa kedisha ila ihi oraisa de kashat. But the Torah is elevated. It is deep. You know, there's a very fascinating idea, right? Well, what does it mean when we say it wouldn't be truthful if that's all it was doing? Right? It's still true. I mean, the Teva landed on Hare Arirat. The information, the historical information, is not compatible with the true Torah. And the Zohar continues. And it's right after the Rambam I quoted and explains. But before we get there, just take a look at this Rambam. This idea is in many, many sources. Just one, this is from the Rambam's Hakdama to Perek HaChelek, where he's saying the Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna. One of the Ikari Emuna is that Torah Misinai, of course. And the Rambam explains. Kol Osheba Yesh Bachachmos V'Niflos L'Misha Vino Hashem. Every letter of the Torah has Chachma and Niflos that to the person Hashem has shown him that. Meaning to say that there are psukim in the Torah that we perceive the wisdom in them. But there are other psukim in the Torah that we don't really perceive the wisdom. But every os, and part of emuna in Torah is believing, the Rambam tells us, that every os has chachmos v'niflos. The lotusag tachlas chachmasa, aruka me'arts mido rechave mineyam. And the Rambam continues there, quoting the same pasuk we saw in Zayhar before. So what is man to do? But to pray, like David HaMelech, Gale nai babita niflos mitarasecha. So the Zohar continues, Tachazim melech was v'dam, lav yikra dilehu, lishtai mila dehadiota, kol shekein l'michtav lei, v'asik b'daitach, demalkei la kutshavrichu, lo have le milin kedishin l'michtav l'mevad minayhu oraisa, eladiyu kanis, kol milin dehadiotin, kegon mili de'esav, milin dehagar, Milan de Lavan Biakov, Milan de Asan, Milan de Bilam, Milan de Balak, Milan de Zimri, Nekanis Lahu Vachal Shar Sipurin de Chsivin, Vavid Minayo Raisa, Yachi Amai Ikri Tyres Emes. So says the Zohar, understand. If all the Zohar was, the Torah was, is, like we said, it's telling you this story, this history, and it includes in it these words. The words of Esav, the words of Hagar, the words of Lavan. It wouldn't be a Taras Emes. It wouldn't be Taras Hashem Timima. It wouldn't be Eidos Hashem Ne'amana. It wouldn't be Pekudei Hashem Yesharim. It wouldn't be Mitzvot Hashem Bara, Yiras Hashem Tahora, Mishpatei Hashem Emes, V'ksiv HaNachamadim Yizav U'mipaz, Alan Inun Milin De'oraisa, Elevade De'oraisa Kedisha Ilah, Ihu Oraisa de Kashat, Torah Sashem Timima, the Chomila Umila Asya Lachza Milin Ilain. If it's true, then each word in it is true and conveys this great wisdom. Domila do Sipor Lav Lachza Garme Bilvad. It's not just about itself, it's not just about that story or that detail or that incident. Elachza Allahu Klala Ka'asi. Kima du kimna. So that's what the Torah is about. That's why in Muktam Hulchar Torah, for example, because the priority of message over the historicity is expressed by that principle. But the Torah, as we saw earlier, can't just be present these ideas in a straightforward way. The world couldn't survive. We couldn't handle it. We couldn't understand it. We're physical and we occupy a physical world and we can't relate to these deep secrets. So the Torah presents itself in its levush, and our job is to understand that deeper meaning. The Radvaz actually has a very fascinating interpretation, perhaps as we approach for something to think about in light of this, between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim, when Moshe went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah. So the Gemara says in Shabbos that the Malachim objected to Moshe being given the Torah, and Moshe responded that the Torah addresses people who must fight their desires. He asks the Malachim, do you have a taifa to eat non-kosher, to steal, etc.? In other words, clearly the Torah is meant for humans, not angels, right? Well, why do the angels need to be told what to eat? They don't eat. So that response is so obvious that the Radvaz wonders, what were the Malachim contending? What did they think? Why did they think they should keep the Torah if, after all, the Torah does tell us what to eat, what not to eat, and Malachim don't even eat? They have no desire to steal. So the Radvaz answers, the pshat is, like we've been saying, that the Torah could be understood on many levels. That the Ramban tells us in his Akdama to the Torah that the Torah is entirely Shemal Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim were claiming that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should leave the Torah, the Chachma, in that supernal state. He shouldn't cloak that wisdom into words and stories and ideas that would allow it to be received by mortals. That's the idea. The idea of the Torah is, the idea that we're saying here is that the Torah is this ultimate wisdom. But it's cloaked, it's presented in ways on many, many levels that allow us to understand it. The Malachim were saying, but why? Don't you're being mevaze tachsischa shelcha when you take this supernal wisdom and you translate it into words and tools and stories that human beings could understand? But the answer is no. The Torah wasn't created for Malachim. It was for humans. And it is true, like we saw in the Zohar, that in future times we'll have a deeper understanding. We'll understand the Nishmasa de Nishmasa. The Shlah writes, that's the idea of the Bris Chadasha that Yirmiyahu describes, a new understanding of Torah that will be revealed, Lasa Bavo. But until that point, we're supposed to understand and get from the Torah whatever we can. And by studying the Torah, we have a glimpse of these eternal truths. And when we try to study Chachmas HaEmes, then we have a deeper glimpse. So I think most of the time, let's say when we're studying Chumash, when we're studying Tanakh, we focus on Pshat and Drash. As we've said in the past, Pshat doesn't mean something that's superficial. It could also have tremendous depth, what Rashbam calls the Omek HaPshat, but still it's the most superficial layer. Drash goes further, and Sod goes further. So let's try to understand a little more what the relationship is between Pshat, Drash, and Sod. So we already saw the Zohar that gave a mashal, that Pshat is like a person's skin. One level deeper is like their clothing. Drash, therefore, is one second step. But what are we trying to do when we get to the layer of Sod? So take a look. The next source over here is a Ramban. This is from the beginning of Bereishis. And he writes, Teda ki al derech ha-emes hakosav yagid betachtonim. The Yirmos Be'elyonim. Yeah, you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is just like, I guess, a side point. But The Kuzari, or Shefter likes to quote, the Kuzari says, Ilu yadati ayuti, that if I were to fully understand God, I would be God. So clearly the Malachim's understanding of the Torah is also somewhat cloaked.
Incomplete, correct.
So how could the Malachim have an argument that the Torah shouldn't be lowered to levels if their only exposure in the first place is to a lower level Torah?
Very good question. So either they're saying the further you go, the worse it is, or whatever they had, and you're correct, of course, their knowledge is totally incomplete as well. And compared to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the Malachim are also infinitely distant. But nevertheless, they had a certain perspective of Torah, and they saw that being diminished in order to be given to humans. And they're saying, that's not right. Why should you be mevaze tafsischa? In other words, even from what we understand, to make it palatable, perceptible, understandable to humans, to bring it down into this world, requires a tremendous desecration and secularization, in a sense. And that was their taina. Now, I think, you know, you could take a look at the Radvaz, we're not going to see it now, but this might relate to what Moshe says back to the Malachim, right? But what you're pointing out is that, I think a counterclaim is that Aliba de Emes, what they're experiencing has that you can make the same claim. But still, when you see it, imagine the situation, you know, you understand a sugya in a particular way, and now you know to explain it, you have to dumb it down. So that hurts, right? That's, we have to understand that that was part of Matan Torah. And this dialogue that we see between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between Moshe and Malachim is helpful for us to understand that. To understand that. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, so let's look back at this Ramban. Teda. Ki al derech ha-emes ha-kasef yaged betachtonim ve-yirmoz be-elyonim. So the pasuk is magid betachtonim. It describes the lower matters. This is talking about Parshas Bereishis, but it's Mirames Be'elyonim, right? In other words, when the Torah is telling us something in words, so it's telling us about that which we see in the Olam HaTachton, and at the same time, to understand the Remez, we'll be able to understand the Elyon, even from the description of the Tachton. What he's alluding to here is that there's a parallelism between the upper and the lower worlds. And you can understand the upper worlds by looking at the lower worlds if you appreciate the key. Well, let me give you a mashal, and then let's try to understand it a little more. I go ahead right now, and I'm looking at a computer screen. So what do I see on my computer screen? I see a bunch of faces and colors and the like. So someone who knows a little bit more about computers can look at, someone who doesn't know anything about computers, all they see is what's on their screen. Someone who knows a little bit more about computers, knows about programming, will be able to extrapolate from what they see on their screen and what's happening in front of them to that which is behind it, to the programming behind it, to the way the computer operates, to the operating system. I don't even know enough about computers to flesh out this mashal, but you know what I'm talking about, if you know what I'm talking about, right? The things that I see on my screen, the things that I see happening, are just a manifestation of the programming and the language and the hardware and the software and whatever there is below. So there's one person who just sees the screen. There's another person who goes ahead and they from that which they see on the screen, they could extrapolate. They might not know everything, but they could sort of guess, I know what type of programming this is using. I know what type of language must be behind this. So the Torah, when you look at what the words say, or even look at the words, the world, the Ramban writes that the Milo of Gan Eden is how everything there was merames to elevated things. So if you were in Gan Eden, there were physical things. Gan Eden was a physical place. But the physical things in Gan Eden, one who knew how to look at them could extrapolate these elevated truths. And the same thing is true, even though we're not in Gan Eden, in so many ways. As we'll talk about later, the Zohar quotes the Pasuk, Mibsaria Chazel Oka, Pasuk and Eel, from my flesh I see God, that yes, because a human being is B'Tselem Elokim, that when you look at the human being, if you know how to read it, you could understand something of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and that's why when the Mefarshim are going to go ahead and present something in Alpi Kabbalah, so they'll say, this is the MS, or this is the Pnimius HaInyan, right? Because that's the point. There's the Chitzon, and there's the Pnimi, right? You have over here the Ramban from Bereishis, Parak Aleph. The Pnimius HaInyan, Yikru Yamim. What does that mean? Hasfiros Ha'atzulos Be'elyon. Ki Kol Maimar Po'el Havaya Tikra Yom. Right? So there's this word called Yom. And then if you know the key, you could understand what's below it. So when we talk about pardes, we talk about pshat, remez, drush, and sod, and so what's going on here? If you take a look at what you have, the next source, the Pasuk in Mishlei from Parak Aleph, Pasuk Chaf. The Gra explains how these four elements of Torah relate to each other. So let's take a look at the Pasuk over here. The Pasuk over here refers to four places which wisdom or Torah calls forth. So what does the Pasuk say? Chachmos b'chutz tarona, b'rchovos titein kola, b'rosh homios tikra, b'pischei she'arim, b'ir amareha tomar. So what is this pasuk alluding to? So let's take a look at the Vilna Gaon over here from his Perush on Mishlei. HaTorah nechlekes l'shnayim shem arba v'heim pshat v'sod u'v'chol achad shnayim v'sod sodos atzman v'remez hu pesach hashar l'sodos u'v'pshat drash u'pshat. So pardes, there's four methods of interpretation, but really there are two categories, and each one with a pesach hashar, which means that which gets us to the second step. So how does that explain the pasuk? Bezehu chachmos b'chutz. Osa na'omdim b'chutz. Adayin enu mare lohem rak ha'pshat. If you're outside, all you see is the pshat. Berchovos shehu hadrush shemarchiv ha'halacha sham titein kola. So the streets get you there. And that is the drash. B'rosh homios tikra, b'pischei sharim, hu remez, shu pesach hashar, the remez is the pesach, the entranceway, v'acharkach b'ir, shehu v'pnimios ha-torah. That's, you're inside the city, the pnimios ha-torah, az tomar lohem, kol amareha, v'sodoseh. It's a little reminiscent of the mashal that we saw a number of weeks ago in the Rambam about the outside of the city and entering the city, and he goes further, entering the palace and the like. So what's he saying? He's saying that remez and sod form a pair. Well, let's start with pshat, actually. Pshat is bachutz, right? It's distinct from the other forms of interpretation. It doesn't relate directly to the city because it deals with the text on its own terms. You don't need any additional knowledge to understand it. And it forms a pair with drash. Why does it form a pair with drash? Because these two interpretations are exoteric. Halacha is derived from drash. So that's why it's compared to the rechov. It leads a person along the path. And it's the person that takes him from the wilderness to the city. So then Negra says, remez and sod also form a pair, with remez serving as the gateway to the sod. So a city gate, Pesach Hashar, is remez, because by alluding to these deeper truths, remember what we just saw from the Ramban, that the psukim are merames to the Elyonos. So the remez grants access to the city. That's the sod, that's the ear. And we're alluding to a hierarchy of interpretation. Again, I don't think the Gra is saying that there's no value to Pshat. The Gra does think there's value to Pshat. If you look, for example, Megillas Esther, the Gra wrote a Perush on Pshat and also on Sod. There is value here, and Drash as well. It gets you along the road. Okay. There's another passage in the Zohar that I think sort of portrays this, the same idea. We'll see it over here. It's a remarkable metaphor. You'll see it speaks for itself. Here, the Zohar portrays the Torah as a beloved woman who's slowly revealing herself to her lover. Initially, she calls out, and if he doesn't notice, then she sends messages. And let's just take a look over here. Kariv legava, shriyas lemalala me mivtar pruchta de parsa, les milin lefum archave ad yistakel zayir zayir, vidahu drasha, lebasar tishtai behade mi basar shushifa de kik milin de chida, vidah ihu hagada, levasar de ihu ragi legava, is galias legabe anpin be anpin umlilas bade kol razin sisimin dila bechol archin sisimin dehavu bilva tamirin miyomin kadmain kedain ihu barnash shalim baltora vadai meared visa deha kol razin dila glias lay the lo rechikas the lo xias mine klum. First of all, you just read these passages, you see the Zohar is such a evocative, poetic work. It's hard to understand sometimes, but even on that basic level. So what are we saying? So we have this woman and her, if her lover, she calls out and he doesn't notice it. So she sends messages, and then this timid young man, he finally approaches and he passes the first barrier and she converses with him from behind the curtain. And that corresponds to drasha, right? The first was pshat, now drash. Afterwards, through a thin veil, right? That's the level of agarata. And if he perseveres, so the layers drop and she reveals more and more secrets to him, right? So Karev Lagabe gets closer to her. She asks him from behind the curtain words he could understand, right? And then she begins to convey these riddles to him, right? An even thinner screen, that's agadita. And then once he's accustomed to her, she reveals her face, right? She's face to face with him. And all the mysteries are concealed as they once were. And eventually he sees a complete human being, this beautiful woman. And that's what happens as we go deeper and deeper in our Torah. It's like this beautiful woman removing her layers of clothing. It's the Torah song, Zohar, it's splendor. And the point, though, that we're saying is that she only exposes that to the one she trusts. And so you have to be ready for that. We'll get to that in one moment. But when we're on the topic of Pshat and Drash, it is important to know that there's a tremendous textual basis for the Pshatim. Just one second. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So this implies that there's a sequence that you can't get to a level of Sod without first doing Pshat and then after Pshat, then Drash.
Yes, I think so. I think it does. And I would add, it's not just a academic sequence, but it's also, as we'll see later, one of growth in your Shemayim and Ava and the like. But yes, there is a sequence and a hierarchy. So when we study, when we talk about this mystical interpretations, I think someone who again, if you learn Ramban al Torah, you wouldn't say this, but someone who hasn't really read these Perushim would think, okay, like these are remes. You know, we think of remes like, I don't know, gematrias and the like. They have nothing to do with the text. But the truth is that Adarabba, one of the things that you'll see with Zohar or Ramban or the like, is the extent to which oftentimes these mystical interpretations are actually much more textual than what we would call the pshat. Well, let's give a mashal from this Ramban over here. And this is a Ramban that we saw actually at the very beginning of this year, I think in Elul already. So the Ramban over here writes that, let's take a look. Last week's here. The Lashon Zuha Gada Atzma Huzki Rabbi Elam Deinu Parsha Zos Hachaya V'chi Machbas L'Lakadosh Baruch Hu Bein Shochek Behema V'Ochal. He's quoting here again. We talked about this. He's talking about Shaloch HaKan. He's talking about the purpose of mitzvahs generally. He quotes a medrash, which the Rambam quotes as well, and he's now going to explain it. Right? Ma'achbas lo lachadosh baruch hu ben shochet behema va'ochal o nocher va'ochal. Klum ata mawil o klum ata mazigo o ma'achbas lo ben ochal tahoros o ochal tameos. In chachamta chachamta loch ha lo nitnu ha mitzos elo tzarif ba nisab rios. Shenemar imros Hashem imros tahoros. Benemar kol imras elo katsufa. Lama she magid Megin alecha, hine mefurash bekan, shelobo lomar, elash ein hato elas elav yisale, sheyitzdarech laora, kimechushav mina menora, vishitzdarech machal hakorbanos reach haktores kanira mipshutehim. In other words, when you read the pshat of the psukim, in many places, itaka sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu benefits from our avoda. Tzavas b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lemes karbani lachmi lishai reach nichofi. Read the psukim. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like God eats our food somehow or another. Our karbano sustain him and the like. Now, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys the meat of a carbon is, of course, absurd. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't benefit from the mitzvos in that way. So the Ramban explains over there that no, that mitzvos instill within us ethical values, moral sensitivity. That's the example of the Medrash over here talking about Shechita. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care if you shecht from the front of the neck or the back of the neck, but he told us to shecht from the front of the neck because that's less painful for the animal, and that will instill in us sensitivity, kindness, etc. So the Medrash, the Drash over here, is in a sense saying, don't read the Psukim so literally, right? Almost in a sense, from a rational philosophical perspective, we can't read the Psukim so literally. But what does Sod tell us about this? So take a look at the next Ramban. Yesh b'inyan, and it's talking about the Mishkan over here, Yesh b'inyan Sod gadol. Ki kefi pshat hadavar hashchina b'Yisrael tzarech hediot, v'lo tzarech kaval, just like he said in the previous Ramban. According to Pshat, Pshat isn't actually the superficial understanding. It's the understanding that we would get using our seichel. So if we look at the purpose of mitzvos through seichel, we would obviously conclude that mitzvos are tzorech hedyot and not tzorech gavoah. Why? Because from the perspective of seichel, what possible benefit could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have from mitzvos? He lacks nothing. He's perfect. So the pshat hadavar, pshat again isn't the literal reading of the psukim, the pshat is the understanding that we would take away from the Torah, taking into account the text of the Torah, but using our seichel. And from that perspective, what is the purpose of mitzvos? Mitzvos must be for us, for our purpose. They're not tzarech gavoa, they're tzarech hadiot. They make us compassionate people. They make us kind people. They give us olam haba. They perfect all those things. That's the pshat. That's the pshat. But what is the sod? The sod is not that way, right? The pshat is shechina b'Yisrael tzorech hadiot, not tzorech gavoa. But the sod is that this is aspect of tzorech gavoa. Avalu k'inyan shamar kasov, what's the sod? Like the pasuk says, Yisrael asher b'cha es pa'er, that Yisrael in whom I am glorified. In other words, we bring glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amei Yeshua umata asel shimcha hagadol. In other words, when we're mekadesh shem shamayim, so we, as it were, do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Upsukim rabim ba'ukein. There are many psukim like this. Iva lemoshev lo. God desired a place to dwell. Po eshev, P-E-V-C, I shall dwell here because I desire it. The kas of the artist's core. So now let's go back to eskarbani lachmili shayrech nichochi. Which interpretation takes the words more into account? In a sense, it's the sod. But, and this is where it goes back to what Moshe was pointing out before, you have to go in order. If you were to try to understand this sod without having first gone through pshat, gone through drash, before having approached the nigla components of Torah and tried to understand them, then the sod is heretical, it's incomprehensible, it's silly, it's superficial, it's absurd. It doesn't make any sense. What does God need our avoda? People who don't understand how to learn Kabbalah, so they look at Kabbalah, and either they think that the Mekubalim were corporealists or superficial, you know, foolish, non-sophisticated, but so you have to go in order. But once you get there, you'll see how it's in the psukim as well. Now, again, this is a great danger to learning Kabbalah. And if you look at the next verse, which you won't read inside, the Ramban shows how Drash also alludes to Sod. But again, there's a tremendous danger to reading it literally, to reading it, understanding the Kabbalah superficially. The next verse you have here is from the Hagdama, the Rizal, to the Sifra, the Tzniusa. We don't have time to read it inside, but it's all a warning about understanding things too literally, not appreciating that the words of Kabbalah are a mashal and the like. And that's very, very important. And again, so frequently when people go ahead and they approach Kabbalah without the proper hachana, so then that's the erroneous conclusion that they draw, in which case, obviously, it would be much better that they not even try to start. Now, I want to talk about one thing quickly, and then maybe I guess we'll conclude with a hakdama to the main thing I was planning to talk about today, but we won't get to that either. So first, just a ha'ara. So how do Mikubalim understand the Rambam? So one perspective could have been to say, look, you know, the Rambam wasn't zoche to this understanding of Torah. We don't necessarily blame him. It's not his fault. He was never taught the Kabbalah, whatever it was, however it happened. But Lemaisa, we are zoche to this higher level, and therefore there's no reason to study or even consider. You know, Kabbalah understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Kabbalah, through this tradition. The Rambam understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Seichel, through rational means. So why would I try to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Seichel if I could understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the esoteric mystical wisdom? Especially if I believe that esoteric mystical wisdom is true. It's, in fact, in a sense, more true. So why would I even bother? But we find that that's not the case. Many Kabbalistic works, Tanya, Nefesh HaChaim, among others, quote and incorporate ideas from the Mar Nevuchim. If you look at the Ramaz, Torah Sa'ola, he blends philosophical ideas and Kabbalistic ideas. The Ramak writes that everything that was written by those who pursue knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through reasoning, meaning rationally try to understand God, is totally correct. So what does that mean? How is that shtim with Kabbalah? So that's not to say that there's no stiros and there's no machloksin, but there's two things you have to understand. What the Rambam does is he gets you, this is how the Ramak, I think, is putting it, he gets you as far as you could get using your seichel. Kabbalah begins where he left off. So now you'll say, okay, well, what's the point of getting that far? But the answer is, and in that sense, I guess this year is very much a continuation of this year from last week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala himself in different ways. One is through Seichel. He allows us to understand him through Seichel. And there is value to understanding him through Seichel, even if there's also value in understanding him without Seichel. And there's emes there. There's emes there. Even if it's a different emes than that which Kabbalah is megala, because they're still giluyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Going back to Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, Pshat is also the Dvar Hashem. And A, it's important, first of all, as a preliminary, but B, I think even beyond that, it's valuable, because that too is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a way to be masig HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in a sense, it has a maila, because it's coming from within us and not from without. And that's why many svarim, the Rama writes this in a tshuva to the Marshal. The Marshal has tainus against him for quoting Aristotle. And the Rama responds that, look, there are different ways of approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Elu V'Elu Derelukim Chayim. And so whether or not we figure out a way to reconcile the Mahalchim or not doesn't take away from the truth value of both. So that's the pshat. Mysticism picks up where Kabbalah ends. I said that from before from the Shlan. I'll just read you how the Gra puts it, which is the same thing, same idea. He writes, this is from Orchos Chaim Keser Rosh Simin Samech Aleph. Philosophia, Amar Rabbeinu, Shemimakom Shemistaima Philosophia, Misham Ulamala Maschil Chachmas HaKabbalah. Umimakom Shemistaim Kabbalah HaRamak, Misham Ulamala Maschil Kabbalah HaRizal. Ramak was sort of the dean of old school Kabbalah that, again, to some degree was replaced by the Ari. But what the Gaon is saying over here is it's not replaced in the Ari, like there's no point in studying it anymore. The Ari is one step further, and Kabbalah is one step further from rational thinking, but there's value to understanding both. And let's just, to appreciate, let's go back to that example that we just had, right? So we have to understand, when we look at the purpose of mitzvos, both aspects. Ramban writes, Yomar enenu shoel meimach davar sheye litzarko ela litzarkenu. What's the Ramban saying? That what does God ask of us? Right, it's not for him. He leads nothing. He doesn't need anything. So what is the pasuk telling us? That mitzvot, like we said, are for us. Mitzvot are for us. That's the purpose. Right? Ma Hashem shoel mimach, kiim liras Hashem, etc. L'tov lach. It's for our benefit. That's the pshat. Right? That's the pshat. What's the sod? We already saw the sod is something much further, much deeper. That tzorach gavoa. But you need to know the pshat. First of all, you won't understand the sod without understanding the pshat. But you also need to know the pshat, right? When he says kafi, that's where the Ramban, 9 out of 10 times when he talks about this inyan, or I don't know, 9 out of 10, 4 out of 5, he always stresses the pshat. You need to know the pshat. You need to know the non-Kabbalistic understanding as well. So certainly, there's the someone who decides to pursue Chachmas HaEmes will not stop studying non-Chachmas HaEmes. You know, I remember the first time I frequently heard Mar Nevuchim be quoted is when I started listening to the shiurim of Moshe Shapiro, right? For Moshe Shapiro, it's a big makovel. So why was he quoting more Nevuchim than anybody else I ever heard? But the answer is that he was able to perceive how it's actually really one big system. So more than anything else, what is Kabbalah about? Kabbalah is about understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are multiple ways to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that we can. And one can devote themselves exclusively to one way or the other, or one can appreciate how they both work together, and through both of them, you'll end up with a much fuller understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, whose yahrzeit is today, opens up worlds and vistas to us that we would not otherwise have imagined. And if we study it, we'll see the beauty, we'll appreciate the song, we'll understand the depths. It's something that hopefully will not just be information, but will affect the way we live, the way we daven, the way we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thus we continue to try to study his words and understand the depths of the Torah as much as we can. Schuso Yagen Aleinu. Have a good day. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shabbos.
Shabbos. Shabbos.